And I think we would probably be confused as well, were it not for the fact that one of Jesus' very close followers, the Apostle Peter, stands up and he explains what's happened. And this is the substance of what I'm going to say this morning. Verse 14, Peter stood up with the 11, that's the rest of the disciples, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Thank you, Peter. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. So, you know, those of you who come along thinking that James McKenzie is the preacher, it's actually going to be the Apostle Peter. So that's really cool. You can go home and say that it was Peter who was preaching in church today. Basically, what he is saying is, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And what we come to here is the second key to understanding the significance of the day of Pentecost. And that key is a prophecy. And this prophecy from the Old Testament was given by a man by the name of Joel. And he gave this prophecy perhaps 600 or maybe even 900 years before the day of Pentecost actually took place. It's a very ancient prophecy. And what Peter says is this, the day of Pentecost, the events of the day of Pentecost are actually the fulfillment of that prophecy. And the prophecy very nicely breaks down into three sections, and preachers always like things that break down into threes, so this prophecy was specifically designed with preachers in mind. And the first division of this prophecy is quite simply this, and this is what we're thinking about primarily in the day of Pentecost: the Spirit has come. And that is the significance. It's the pouring out of God's Spirit. And verses 17 and 18 of the prophecy say the following. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. There is the first component of this great prophecy of Joel. It's the fact that the Spirit has come. I just want to walk you through this and pick out some of the key points from this section. A phrase that's important here is the phrase, in the last days. So if you're into underlining things, underline in the last days, because that's a key to understanding the way that the prophecy is put together. The last days in the New Testament, the way I understand that is that it refers to the period that we now live in, between the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to this world, when he was born in Bethlehem, and when he grew up, and when he went around teaching and doing miracles, when he went to the cross, died, and then rose again, and then ascended into heaven and poured out the Spirit. That's the beginning. It's the way I understand the beginning of the last days. And then the end of the last days is when Jesus returns again at the end of human history in great power and glory and ties up all the work that God has been doing throughout human history. And Joel condenses these two things into one in his prophecy. So in the last days, the period that we now live in, we live in the last days. We're very privileged people to live in that particular period in human history. And some of the things that come out of the prophecy are these. Here's the first one. I don't know who you think made up the church. How about the apostles? Any votes for the apostles? Church leaders. How about VJ? VJ's idea was to start the church. Anyone else, you know, go back and think of the Pope, or, you know, whose idea was it to start the church? Well, the answer is, it's God's idea. The church is God's idea. The church is the thing that has been in God's mind since even before the world was created. In the last days, God says, this is something that God is doing. The church, the building of the church, the bringing of people into the church, the transformation of people's lives through Jesus Christ is God's idea. And because it's God's idea, it's a great idea. A lot of our ideas are dumb. God's ideas are transcendent and amazing. So the church is God's idea. Here's the second thing that comes out of that. The Holy Spirit, he's poured out, and the Holy Spirit is poured out abundantly. So he is abundantly available. It's not like God is dispensing the Holy Spirit with an eyedropper. You know, an eye, you still use eyedroppers, you know, things that are pipette things. You know, you guys do chemistry and you know pipettes for picking up little drops. It's not like God dispenses the Spirit. One drop for you, one drop for you, and one drop for you. He pours out the Spirit. The Spirit is abundantly available to the church. And then the church, of course, is you and me. Because that's what God is doing. And here's another thing, that the Holy Spirit is abundantly available to all Christians. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit available to us abundantly. God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. That doesn't mean every single person in the whole world, but it means every kind of person, every person included within the church, has the Holy Spirit poured out abundantly upon him, upon her, living within us. So there are some great highlights there, aren't there? Well, that's just the beginning. There's some more great things to come.